today, Jake's going to tell you guys all about lesbianism.
Yeah, and I'm also going to tell you that you're listening to Death by Music Podcast. Welcome to the show. You already heard my name. The other person talking is Alex.
Hello.
We are the hosts with the most glass nose, and that's appropriate because we're talking about Russians today, too.
Oh, they are Russian. Okay.
Yes, they are.
This one's of course, from MamaMia.com.
Oh, yes. This is from MamaMia.com.au. I guess that's Australia.
Yeah,
written by
Helen
Vanuk. And this came out in June 2022. That's a year. And today we're talking about Tattoo. In 2002, the lesbian schoolgirls, quote unquote, of Tattoo shocked the world. This is their lives now. In 2002.
Good start.
Yeah.
You're on a roll.
I am. In 2002, the world went crazy for two Russian teenage lesbians, quote unquote, again, in school uniforms. The duo, Yulia Volkova and Lena Katina, I'm assuming that's how you say that.
Probably Lena.
Huh?
Probably Lena Katina.
I kind of said it that way, but I was like, Lena or Lena. I don't know. Anyways, they call themselves Tattoo, and their song, All the Things She Said, was a number one hit in Australia as well as other countries around the world, thanks mainly to a video featuring the girls in extremely short skirts kissing in the pouring rain.
Oh, that was pretty taboo back then.
Back in 2002, yes. How I know of Tattoo. I listened to Tattoo. I listened to them back then. I never saw the video.
Oh, so you didn't even know.
I didn't even know. I just heard the music.
It's a pretty good song.
I heard it in Russian.
Oh.
I didn't know there was an English version. I don't know how the hell
I managed to find that.
I have no fucking clue. I think it was around the time, maybe when Triple X had come out with Vin Diesel in it,
yeah.
And they had Rammstein in the movie playing mm-hmm. Feuerfrei, and that's how I discovered that Rammstein had that new album out at the time, and I think it might have possibly been related to that. I was searching for them. You know, on the old Kazaa dodging viruses and shit like that. And
oh,
I somehow found Tattoo on the internet. And I actually managed to download their whole album. And it was all Russian and it was great.
Huh.
And their Russian album is so much better than their English stuff.
Yeah.
It's the same songs, but it's like, it sounds cooler in Russian. Anyways, back to the story. But it wasn't long before the world found out the duo weren't really lesbians, and eventually the two had a falling out so huge that they completely stopped speaking to each other. Volkova and Katina both started out as members of a kids' musical group in Russia called Nepozity. It's like a fucking Disney Channel kids.
Yeah, that's...
the Mickey Mouse Club's what it is. Volkova was classically trained in piano and singing, while Katina's father was a well-known songwriter. At the age of 14, they auditioned for Ivan Shapovalov, there we go, a former ad man who had decided to form his own pop group with lesbian teenagers as its image.
What? So it was his idea? That's weird.
It's a little creepy there. Volkova and Katina were chosen and Tattoo was born.
What?
The video for All the Things She Said caused controversy everywhere. It was played with UK TV presenter Richard... Medelli, calling for the song to be banned.
Just because of the video?
I guess.
This it's next stupid. Sentence.
We are being told that these girls actually have underage lesbian sex in real life, and we are being told by their manager that he spotted a gap in the market. A pedophile gap in the market, he says. That's sick and it's wrong.
What? Do you think that's true? I don't think a manager would ever say that to a TV presenter. We got the corner in on pedophiles.
Yeah,
also,
I don't think he might not have said it that specifically.
That's fucking weird, but I would also like to point out it's weird that a grown-ass man is talking about two girls who are teenagers having underage lesbian sex in real life. Like, gross, why are you even talking about that? But also, even if they were, they're both underage.
Hold on.
So it doesn't really...
Let's see how old they are today. Lena is 39. She's born in 84. Yulia was born in 85. So what's that?
18. 17, 18.
So they were right on the edge there.
Yeah, but still, it's not like taboo if kids, not kids, but like teenagers have sex together. So fucking who cares? The way that it was worded made it sound like they were doing something that was wrong, but it's like it wasn't an adult and a child. It was two kids.
Yeah,
they also weren't really lesbians. So it's just a weird thing that they would try to sell it on that. But again, they were Russian, so maybe shit was different over there.
I don't know that it.
I mean, what I'm trying to say is when I lived in Germany, everyone, like, they had billboards with naked people on them. They had kids' magazines, like the teen magazines that teenagers would buy, would have, like, basically profiles on single people who had submitted their information or whatever, and they would have a full frontal nude photo of that person, and then their name, their interests, and, like, here's the kind of person that I'm looking for. If you're interested in dating someone like me, then send a mail to this address. And it was, like, naked-ass kids. It was just so normal for nudity for teenagers.
Yeah, I know it's definitely different culturally over there.
They had, like,
for that
porn
kind of
on
stuff.
Cable TV. On, like,
I missed all that
during the day. During the day.
Instead of soap operas.
Yeah. It was fucking wild over there. And I was like, what the hell? Because we were raised super Catholic, very, like, conservative household in that
sense.
And then going to Germany, it was total culture shock because everyone was just fucking naked all the time. Like, people wouldn't go into the changing room at the stores. They wouldn't go to the changing room at the beach. They would just fucking take their clothes off at the beach or in the middle of the store, try on something or, like, put their bathing suit on and then, like, or not. You know, they'd just be naked. They'd just be fucking naked all the time, so... I'm just saying culturally things might have been different.
Yeah. I feel like the entirety of America is a little bit different than that.
Yeah. And that was around that time. That was around the time we moved to Germany. It was 2003.
I was about to say, yeah.
So.
Yeah. So Katina defended Shapovalov in 2003 interview with The Telegraph. Ivan is a genius, she says. He is our friend and he has helped us on our journey through life. Despite initially claiming to be lesbians in real life, Katina later explained she and Volkova were playing a role as if in a movie. I never was a lesbian, she told the Daily Beast. I never was attracted to a girl.
Dang, she called her friend ugly.
But she thinks Tattoo helped Russian teenagers who actually were gay, saying the duo received so many thank you letters. Tattoo performed at Eurovision in 2003, where they came in third. I didn't know that was a competition.
Yeah, what?
I've heard of Eurovision, I think.
Yeah, you certainly have.
Is it like a Star Search type of...
Every year they do it, and every, like, country in the Union, like the European Union, I guess, submits mm-hmm. their own act, and then they all compete to be, like, the number one in all of Europe.
Oh, okay. So is it, like, voted in, or is just...
I'm pretty sure it's voted... I can't
audience.
Remember. We watched it when we were over there, and this metal band won, actually, called Lordi, which is a lot like Gwar, actually.
Huh.
They won one of the years that we were over there, and I'm pretty sure it might be a judging panel, because it wouldn't really be fair if it was voting if you came from a big-ass country like fucking Russia versus, I don't know, Liechtenstein, when there's only like five people
there. I mean, you
gotta
bring your A game.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. So after they came in third there, they kept recording and were particularly successful in Japan. In Asia, we were popular because all porn is based on schoolgirls dressed like we were in the video, Volkova says.
Great.
Yeah, we can see that. Outside of music, Volkova and a daughter had a daughter and a son from different relationships, but didn't stay with the father of either child. I gave birth, got my stuff together, and carried on working, she said. The duo split in 2009. Volkova launched a solo singing career, starred in a horror movie, Zombie Fever, and got into shoe design. In 2012, she was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. She told the TV show Secret for a Million that she hid it because she didn't want anyone to feel sorry for her. Volkova says cancer surgery damaged her vocal cords, and it took more surgeries over the space of several years for her to fully recover. After the operation, there was a month when I couldn't make a sound, she says. Even 2 or 3 months later, I was still afraid to start talking. Fortunately, she was eventually able to sing again. In 2014, Volkova sparked a new scandal by declaring on TV that she would condemn her son if he was gay.
Come on.
I wonder what that's about. I won't accept a gay son, she says. Two girls together, not the same thing as two men together. I don't know. It seems to me that the lesbians look aesthetically much nicer than two men holding hands or kissing. Okay.
You're like, well, I agree with her.
Know.
She does raise some good points.
Yeah. Anyways, in response, Katina declared on her Facebook page that love is love. I think everybody should be free to love who they love and be with who they want to spend their life with.
I think the one girl was just probably saying it to try and be relevant. You know, some people just need some fucking attention. And obviously she did, because the first time they came around, she was pretending to be a lesbian.
Yeah.
And now she's irrelevant. And now she's, oh, popping back up in the news, because wouldn't it be controversial if the chick who pretended to be a lesbian was like, but it's not cool if you're dudes. Like, she's just trying to get her name out there. So it maybe. Sounds like, that's stupid. You either support it or you don't, you know? Yeah. So that's, I mean, I feel bad for her fucking kid. Hopefully he's not gay, because she's already said, or hopefully if he is, then he fucking cuts her ass off, because
who knows?
That's a messed up thing to say.
By then, this is 2014, the relationship between the two had irretrievably broken down. They performed together at the Winter Olympics opening ceremony in Sochi 2014, but they found it impossible to work together. There were stories they refused to be in the same room and had to be booked on separate flights. Later, there were rumors that Katina had cut Volkova's face out of photos of the two of them posing with celebrities. Ooh, rumors that Katina scoffed at. At a meeting with fans in 2019, Volkova says she would be happy to have a tattoo reunion. I want to. The question is with the second member. I am in a positive frame of mind. However, Katina says she and Volkova had an irreconcilable conflict. There we go. You're welcome, folks. She said, we just cannot work together. Unfortunately, this is how it is. You should not wait. Katina and Volkova are now both in their late 30s and living lives of their own. Katina has been back in the spotlight doing the Russian version of The Masked Singer. She also got engaged and married to a multimillionaire businessman this year, which was 22. It's her second marriage after splitting from rock singer Sasha Kuzmanovich, who she shares a 7-year-old son Alexander with. As for Volkova, she is still singing tattoo songs as well as original material. She told iHeartRadio that her two children, who are now teenagers themselves, knew everything about her.
I was finding articles about this where the like LGBTQ plus community was not happy with the way that these, so it's interesting, the divided perception of this group as a group, because they weren't actually gay. Mm-hmm. And so some people would call that queer baiting, because you're pretending to be gay while actually not supporting gay rights. Like you're reaping the benefits of the attention, and like people, you're pretending, so you're attracting that sort of audience. But on the same note, there's also like other people, like they said, the people who wrote them letters,
mm-hmm,
that were like, thank you for putting this on TV and showing it to people and making it more normal and destigmatizing like any sort of gay relationships, because that helped them to come out. And like all these people, I was reading comments on Reddit, I think is where I pulled this story from, and all these people were like, that's the moment I knew I was gay. They were like, as soon as I saw those two girls kissing, I was like, oh shit, I'm a lesbian. So I don't know. I think in some ways it did help, because that was so rare to see on TV back then. And it's probably one of the things that kind of normalized it. And
yeah. And
it takes
like their manager was definitely selling it. Like
that's creepy as fuck.
That's creepy. But you're also you're bringing in a lot of male teenage people into the mix to buy the music.
Such as yourself. Well, yeah, you except didn't know.
I had no idea about like, I knew that they were supposed to be lesbians, and I was like, all right, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew the story of it, but I had heard the music first, and it just sounded cool. I mean, it's like tech. It's like that late 2000s,
like techno pop,
or late 90s, early 2000s techno pop stuff, and it was in Russian, and it just sounded cool. You know,
that sounds interesting. I'm gonna have to.
So they just recently put their Russian version of their album up on Spotify. So if you guys want to listen to that, because I had searched for it before. Lonnie said he heard the original,
mm-hmm,
or not the original, but he heard the English version back in the day, and he liked that. And I was like, hey, you got to listen to the Russian version. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, they're Russian. They sang in Russian originally.
Cool.
And they finally put it up there a few months ago, and I sent him the link to it. He's like, dude, this shit's amazing.
Well, shit, I'm going to have to find it. That sounds like it's up my alley.
It's good. It's so much better.
Cool. All right. Well, everybody, if you have comments on the episode, fucking share them in our Facebook group, which is Death by Music Podcast Fans. So if you're not a fan, go fuck yourself. You're not allowed. You're not allowed in the group. You'll be allowed until you say something mean. That's right. Our moderators will kick your ass. And thanks to the rest of you for listening.
Yeah.
Let's see. What do we have coming down the wire? We got to put some Patreon episodes out for this month. So we're going to do that once I'm like fully back from Texas, South by Southwest. The show I would expect in the next few days after this episode comes out. And next month we got Frankie Lyman coming up on the main episode for season 6. So stay tuned. And rest in peace.
Later.
Death by Music Podcast is written and produced by Alex Motler, Cassie Gardner, and Jake.